Hi all, welcome back to another episode. It is my pleasure today to be joined by Andrew Nirnfeld of Comeback Kid, one of my favourite bands. If you are not familiar with them, they formed around 2000 and are a Canadian hardcore punk. I hate the labels, but for the sake of it, that's kind of their genre. They draw their name from a newspaper headline about a hockey player making his comeback, and that is a big passion of theirs. They've endured a lot of changes as a group, and still produce and emerge as an energetic force on the music scene. So Andrew, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me. Although I'm not personally the biggest hockey fan, although we've like ripped off the Jets logo and
yeah, your merch has got it all over it.
maybe I'm one of the ones in the, like, I'm the lower ratio in the band that wasn't super, super keen on it, but no, it's good.
Everybody's doing their Spotify rap lists at the moment. Have you done yours, and what have you been listening to lately?
I did it personally, but I didn't want to really like share that. I'm kind of, because no, Spotify is ripping all of us artists off right now. And yeah. I don't know. I didn't want to post, you know, my Amazon purchases either. So, you know, I did look at it to myself. My personal or the band one, you mean?
Your personal.
Oh, my personal one. That one was interesting. But I kind of knew already. It was an Australian band that was on top for me.
Who was it?
The DMAs.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So you've been super busy of late. Do you want to let us know what you've been up to?
Well, yeah, I've been lucky to kind of have a light at the end of this tunnel here during the COVID time, because we've been writing a record. So it's been good timing for that. It's been a little bit stressful because lockdowns and stuff like that. So like being even like sketched out about traveling or meeting up with everybody, but we were able to like kind of quarantine together over the last month. And kind of just kind of, we'd kind of made a big effort to write like remotely, you know, for the last few months, but this was the first time we were able to get together and write, and we're going to go record next month, unless the situation is still how it is now, which is not, you can't have businesses open. I don't know how this recording studio falls with that. So, you know, so it's all weird. It's all weird. We're working hard on this record. So it's good.
And before we kind of get into some questions, I have been curious as to know, what does your nickname Goose mean, if you want to share?
That was just a thing that I've had all my life. So just like my mom would call me that as a kid, and my brother, friends know.
Just a name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. as we were saying before, yeah, when I started coming to Australia a lot, I'm like, oh, well, Goose isn't really the best thing to be, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Loose Goose. That's all right. It's a fun terminology. Yeah. All right. So I guess I want to talk about soundtracks to your life. So Wake the Dead would be one of mine. Like every single song on that album was significant during that period of time. And I'd be embarrassed to know how many times I've listened to Our Distance, Talk Is Cheap, and The Trouble I Love. And it makes me nostalgic, yeah, about a specific time and person in my life and probably still relevant to our story today. I wanted to ask you, do you have any albums or CDs that you associate to like a set time where the whole album reflected your life or what you were going through?
Yeah, I had one record that was really, really powerful for me. I think in between like 2003 to 2007 or 8, which was by a band called Mew, M-E-W, and it was an album called Frengers. And I remember I'd heard it once in Europe when I was in Copenhagen, the band's from there. And then it was one of those records where I'd heard it once on a really special evening. and then I didn't hear it forever. And then someone else special in my life brought it to me. Like, and it was just like, so like, you know, like when you don't know you've heard something before and like you're reminded of feelings that you had when you heard that song for the first time, or a few songs like, what is this? Like, I know this. And then you're like, where did I hear this before? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was probably the most magical like album that has ever like turned those gears for me.
I guess I want to talk about adversity a little bit. So bands in general face like a lot of change, be it with band members, personal life circumstances, touring and concert obstacles. So you guys certainly have had your fair share of disruptions, and a lot of times that can make or break a group. But could you explain some instances where you faced significant change and what steps you took to deal with them or find solutions?
The biggest changes are people, right? So we've been a band for about 20 years. This year would have been our 20-year anniversary since we started kind of rehearsing and writing. And we've had a few different lineup changes and just people that have – had to move on with their life. Like I used to play guitar in the band when we started, and then I sing. So, you know, that would have been a huge one early on, not knowing how we were going to carry on with that. Luckily, it kind of went so fast that we were actually in Australia right before we went. He told me that, you know, our old singer said he was going to leave. And so we were kind of still on a tour between Australia and the States. And he kind of left halfway through. And then I just started singing halfway through, and we kind of didn't make a thing of it. So that kind of probably would ring true for a lot of other things where you're thrown into a situation and you just kind of have to deal with it. And you just kind of go, go, go. And I think that for me, like, just going is the way to go, is the way to, for me to overcome certain things. And I was just kind of keeping my head down, stay busy. And if it's not working one way, try another way.
Yeah, definitely. I guess the word coming to mind is like being adaptable, you know, and you guys can all jump in and play different roles, can't you? And I guess you have, I think, if memory serves me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was kind of thinking more even just in life than other than the band, but yeah. So things with the band, we always have funny little things with traveling and visas and, oh shit, we're not going to be able to like get into, you know, Indonesia, but then somehow we go and that's how we get in. Or border problems. We've dealt with a lot of those. Border problems are probably close second to people problems, member problems.
Oh God. Any particular traumatic stories of border crisis?
No, it's just stressful. Like in like, you know, passports or, hey, you know, your passport is a little damp, so I'm not going to let you on the plane to go to. And so figuring out getting a new passport in 20 hours and trying to do that. Or, hey, this guy didn't fill out his paperwork right for this country that you're going to like next week or tomorrow.
You know, yeah, that's hectic.
It's just fun. It's funny to like laugh back at, but it definitely gets a little stressful at times. So.
And I also think bands having to kind of pivot and sort of be expansive in how they are approaching things at the moment. So I know that Misery Signals and Darkest Hour have just done like a live stream concert the other day, and it's an absolute steal. Like, it's pretty cheap to watch. So how are you guys embracing this change, be it in Comeback Kid or in your other band Sights and Sounds?
Yeah, I just watched that actually. Our guitar player Stu plays in the band, yes. In Misery Signals.
Yeah.
So that was great. I thought they did really cool. And we were going to do one, but we're lucky that we didn't plan it, because Winnipeg, where like I live in Toronto and the others live in Vancouver and Winnipeg, but when we were just in Winnipeg to write, like everything's been shut down. So like, so we're, you know, we're a little bit behind what Australia's got going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that sense. So yeah, we wouldn't have even been able to do a isolated show. Like, it's just the time wasn't on our side. And to be honest, working on a record, it would be a little bit of a step back if we have to like rehearse old songs and change gears in that way, because we really need to focus on the new shit right now. So we have so much time, you know. We'll have all year next year to do like a live thing, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean? So
exactly. And that's, you're right, it disrupts the flow, I guess, and creative process, which is something I want to talk about a little bit later. But have you got any advice on strategies to cope with like change and stress? Like, obviously everyone's in this weird world at the moment, but not just necessarily about what we're going on, but like in your own personal life or in the band
to change and cope. I haven't always coped in the best ways, and just like seek distractions sometimes in my life. But what I'm finding now is staying like pretty just calm and being inside, you know, staying away from booze and just being, you know, that kind of continuous lifestyle. Is giving me a little bit of clarity. Not saying that I'm on the straight and narrow all the time, but it definitely doesn't help.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. And it's been challenging with so much time. You can kind of go either way, I guess. Like, it is good to kind of pull back and kind
of... Yeah. I definitely had some interesting quarantine times already. So, you know, yeah. When there's a few holes you can go down if you want to. So.
But I think it's been a good period to reflect, I think, like for a lot of people too. Like, we've had the time to kind of sit with our stuff and kind of be like, oh, this is coming up. So that's been something that's come up for me.
So it's kind of opened back up there, right?
Like, yeah, like in New South Wales, the state I'm in, we've been pretty lucky. Like at the moment, yeah, things are sort of back to normal.
Must feel so good, or does it feel weird, or what?
Yeah, it's kind of like waking up from a dream, kind of. And I think people are still a bit hesitant. I went to like a live gig, the first one since February. I think the last gig I saw was Tool, like big concert. And then this was like a small venue and it was kind of a bit weird. It was a seated concert.
Wasn't there like an outbreak at the Tool concert actually in Australia?
I think it was in New Zealand. There, oh, word, yeah. And then he ended up having COVID, I think.
Maynard got it, yeah?
Yeah. And still has like, means that he has lung damage. I'm like, no, don't let that happen. Shit. It's just kind of like a new normal, I guess. And it's just kind of people being conscious and being mindful of other people who might still be adapting and coping with it, I guess.
Yeah. We have like tours that we're planning, and luckily we have agents helping us, you know, and that are motivated to kind of keep on rebooking things, but it's hard to believe anything's gonna happen. So
I just saw like I giggled because nothing had been, like, we can't even leave Australia, like, internationally, or like, unless there's very specific circumstances, I think. And Guns N' Roses just announced it too. I'm like, how do they even know they're going to be able to fly into Australia anyway? So I just found that made me giggle the other day.
Exactly. And then, you know, once you can, will you have to quarantine when you get back? How's that going to disrupt people's personal lives as well? You know, you can go away for a month, but can you go away for 2 months, you know, or a month and a half, or you have to quarantine on both sides, or who knows, you know?
Yeah, it's just so, and then you guys are going into winter, obviously, so that then there's, I guess, everyone's a little bit heightened about, oh, that's like cold and flu season, so I guess everyone's being hyper vigilant over there, but
we're all staying inside, just looking outside at the cold outside, you know.
I would do anything to be in cold weather right now. I am not a fan of heat. I like snow and I like cold environments. So
it's freezing here. I'm jealous of all my friends in Australia.
They look like
they're on patios having a good time.
Yeah, at the beach, just, you know, doing Australian things. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the creative process. I guess that looks pretty different from the inception back in 2000. I kind of want to talk about how that's changed and evolved, and in both bands, so in Sights and Sounds and in Comeback Kid, like, are the processes completely different? Is there a group approach?
Yeah, it's quite different. When we first started with Comeback Kid, I mean, it's always kind of maybe it's kind of the same, but one person usually has like the verse and the intro and the chorus, maybe, or like, you know, two riff ideas that, you know, we get in a bedroom, we jam it out, write a breakdown together, and then boom, you got a song. And then now it's kind of like still one person, but especially now it's like, you know, we've all kind of like had to teach ourselves how to record, you know, so we're all writing and demoing maybe the song out. We put some fake drums to it and then we send it to each other in another city, you know, and then maybe work on it that way back and forth. Or I like to wait until we can just be in person and like what we just did, we already had, you know, 20 demos. I don't know how many of them were good, but then we got together, we went through them, and then we had, you know, our drummer play drums to it, not fake drums. And then kind of like ironing out those parts. And it's just a lot of peeling back layers. Probably just like you said, you're a film writer, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of, I personally like to, like, even right now I'm going through lyrics for different songs, and I'm just getting the numbers on the board right now. Like, I got to write maybe probably like 5 more songs or something out of 20, you know? And then I just want to get them done. And then I've been slowly, but I'm going to go back through and kind of comb through the lyrics and the vocals and the parts and just kind of make sure that everything's, and that comb through will probably happen like another couple times.
Yeah.
Through the whole group of songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a constant refining process. Like, I understand, like, I just want to write something, get it all down, and then I'll go back and be like, oh, take that out. Like, that's crap, or, you know.
Yeah, or like, I don't want to hear that lyric. That's cringy. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah.
Which we'll get into lyrics, because that is a topic that fascinates me, because I'm a big English, well, I'm obsessed with language and writing. So we'll get into that a bit later. But,
okay.
And then, so collaboration seems to play a huge role, like, in creativity, and I think it's a good thing to always keep exploring. And you guys have had vocal spots from various bands, haven't you? So, like, Cancer Bats and Architects, and who else would you love to collaborate with, and what's the best thing about the collaboration process?
Well, right now it's not as exciting as before. Like, right now you almost just like send it to someone and then they send it back to you on email.
Have a
you
don't Zoom, even have to talk to a Zoom sing along. All right, well, free this weird world. What was it?
Exactly. You know, I always have fantasies about people I want to sing on the record.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
But
indulge them.
I don't
indulge them.
Yeah, it's nice to have friends, you know, but then it's also nice just to like dream about, oh, it would be awesome to have this person sing on a song, yeah, you know, but friends is nice.
I always think it's good at gigs too, when there's like a surprise, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, people like it. Especially it's a little cherry on top, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the sprinkles. It's like, oh, this is happening.
You know, I really want to have, I have a song that I really want Walter from Rotting Out to sing on, but I haven't told him yet. So yeah, that would be cool. Let's see. Yeah, there's a bunch of great people. I just, how would it fit for our song? You know what I mean?
But what about when you've been asked? Like, how do you feel about it when you've been asked to do like guest vocals and stuff?
Oh, it's very nice to know that people fuck with me and want to hear my
vocals on.
They want to hear me go. But to be honest, I haven't done it a lot lately. I've been turning it down a lot lately just because I really don't even have enough. Like, I just need to finish my shit right now. And that's kind of been my vibe for the last half a year to or more. I just don't really want to kind of be doing that for other people right now, just because I need to focus on the Comeback Kid thing right now. Sometimes we can, just spreading yourself too thin with that isn't a good idea. So
especially in a creative process, you need to kind of keep yourself in check in order to produce quality work or work that you are happy with. You sometimes need to not be selfish, but you need to pull your energy right back and just concentrate.
Yeah, there was a time I would do that for a lot of people. A lot, and most of the times
in life.
Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes a friend will give me, hey, you know, do you want to sing on this? And it's like their demo or something, or like their first EP is like, just write a record, and then like, let's do it like in a bit. Yeah. Let's not do it on everything. Yeah.
I want to talk about Sights and Sounds, and I don't want to call that a side project. It's just another creative project. How are you finding having two on the go? Is that burdensome or is it energetic? How do you find that experience?
No, like, you know, I don't really have, I want to have a band like Sights and Sounds to, you know, do different things that I've wanted to do at different times. That Comeback Kid, just, it wouldn't be cool if Comeback Kid did it. We know what kind of band we are. And yeah, even actually now, Sights and Sounds is a certain type of band. And it's just, you know, I think that it's good to kind of, I respect a lot of bands that have, you know, changed their style throughout the years, but that's not for me. And I just kind of want to, you know, keep it pretty consistent when it comes to a band. If I want to do another style of music, I would probably be under a different name. No offense to anyone who changes it up. And like, we do as well, but I think some of that core, some of those core like ingredients are the same.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. If you are experimenting and you're a band that's trying to sort of evolve, it could really work or it could really flop. Sometimes sticking to what you know is probably, you know, if it works, it works. That's the saying, right? Like, why change a good thing?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've had, you know, the band members in Comeback Kid like pull me back a little bit from maybe some directions I've wanted to go that they're like, hey, you know, it's not really Comeback Kid. So, hey, in retrospect, or sorry, in hindsight, I totally get it. Maybe at the time I'm like a little offended, but you know,
keep our egos in check, and it's good to have vision and it's good to have other, and I think that's such a good thing. It's about that collaboration process too, to have other people and who can be honest and you can bounce stuff off each other and be like, I'm gonna pull you back in. So that's good to have that communication, especially in like, well, a band or a work environment.
It's actually the best, and it's so disheartening not being able to. I think, yeah, I work best being with, like, working with other people, obviously. I don't know if quarantine's definitely made me realize that more and more, but yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to be said about human connection and, like, that energy and bouncing off people, like, that kind of comes from physical interaction, and it can get lost in translation, like, over Zoom and Skype or however people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's probably been the hardest part, I think. So.
Yeah, which segues me into my next question. What do you do when motivation is lacking, like just in general?
I don't. I don't have any good answers for that. It comes at good time. You know, at least right now, there's just so much good content that's out. Like, yes, I get bored on the telly. Yes, I get bored with the YouTube and all that shit, but podcasts are pretty fucking good right now. And there's a lot of good things coming out, you know, people writing really great things. And there's a lot to discover still. So I think easy to capture the imagination, but there's a lot of good shit coming out.
Yeah.
And out. Yeah.
Well, that's the good thing. I thought like, oh yeah, I've got all this time. Like I'll be super creative and I'll write heaps, and I haven't.
I'm struggling right now because I've written probably, 12 songs or 15. I don't know. And I just, it's kind of hard after that to kind of, okay, where do I dig from now? So. Yeah.
Like I said before, I love lyrics. Big English literature, linguistics nerd, and just lover of all languages. And so many musicians say that in essence, like that process is basically an act of therapy. Is there a sense of emotional clarity in writing or singing them once it's formulated? So like once you've got like the lyrics set, because I mean, I'm going to come completely clean. I have stolen one of your lyrics for my creative writing when I was at university.
Oh, nice.
Some cultural appropriation, and it's from the song My Other Side. I love this line. I think it's appropriate to everything, where you say you always finish before we start. And I'm like, God, I love
that.
Oh,
nice. Well, that was, Scott wrote that lyric. Yeah, nice.
And I love it. And sometimes I find like the succinct nature of lyrics hits the hardest and has the most impact. Like, I'm all about flowery lyrics like The Cure, and Tool can get really vocabulary heavy. But things like the songs like with you guys, like for Because of All, and the rest of that lyric for those who aren't so familiar is, because of all the things I couldn't say to you, the repetition can kind of create its own force. Do you know what I mean? Like separate to the music. And I find it really cathartic to say the same thing over and over again.
Oh yeah, no, that is nice sometimes.
Do you pay much attention to lyrics? Because you're so heavily in it. Like, so I always wondered, do singer-songwriters, do they care about other lyrics in other songs?
Yeah, definitely. And you want to be, sometimes I just feel so moved by other lyrics that I hear, and I want to be able to write like that, or but sometimes writing a song, especially like that's kind of a present to yourself a little bit in a way as well.
Oh, that's a great that you can way kind of saying it.
And it's kind of something, I've just had so many times where you think back to something that, or if you play like playing it live, and it's a very, very nice thing to like connect to the song, to a song that you've put out there for sure. So,
yeah. And then have other people connect to it as well. Like, I can't imagine what that's like, having just thousands of people sing your words back to you. That must be surreal sometimes.
It's endorphins. And even just showing like one of my good friends, one of my songs after I've recorded it in my bedroom, that's certain kinds of good feelings. And and whether they like it or not, like check out this.
Like, I like it.
Like really staring at them, like hoping that they like it. There's good feelings in that, and it's good to capture those. So.
Yeah, because you're such a singer. Like I giggled. I'm like, you're such a sing along band. But you know, like especially obviously with Wake the Dead, it's kind of like an anthem.
Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, this is. The song of the set for sure, every time usually. But lucky to have a song like that, to be able to play. Yeah.
Yeah,
that definitely. People connect to for sure.
I know you're in the process of writing lyrics now, so I guess it's always relevant to the times maybe. So what influences your lyrics perhaps maybe sort of in the past and maybe now?
What influences it? You kind of have a phrase that you go on or something that you want to talk about, but sometimes you're able to really connect a phrase to a certain situation you're going through, whether it's, I just got to say a lot of, breakups have been, I recently went through one, and I'm not saying that the songs are like, I broke up, whatever, but I'm not going to say that those kinds of feelings don't get expressed in the lyrics. And someone was saying something yesterday, but it's not always about how you feel, like it's not always about how you feel all the time, but it's capturing a feeling that you feel at that specific time. Really fucking, like, I'm so fucking sick of you right now. Yeah. Or so, that's a bad example maybe, but I don't need you anymore, like something like that. But like, well, but you know what, maybe sometimes you do feel like you need them in that moment, you didn't. So I think that was a really cool. It was a musician said something like that just I was watching the other day, but I thought it was cool. They referenced it like, capturing like a firefly or something like that, like a piece of energy just for that moment, and writing lyrics like that, that's I think that was really nice to hear. And I related to that.
I make the lyrics fit my emotional situation. You know, you said this time is going to be different, you fucker, and it's not.
Nice.
I was like, what?
Yeah, and that's how most people connect with songs. And I think that, you know, it applies to them in a certain way. Obviously, yeah, sometimes we write things on purpose, not super obvious. Mm. Sometimes it's, I would like to be a little bit more specific in the objects or places that I am when things happen. But I think that is a little bit hard. Maybe it's not to my detriment though, because it leaves it a little bit open-ended, but.
You still have to depersonalize it a little bit, right? Because it's a song is like living energy, so it will always be available, even though you may change and moods can change and situations change.
But the energy is always there, isn't it?
So what songs do you then listen to? Because I always think when you're in a band that's pretty cathartic in Comeback Kid, what songs do you listen to release your emotions and process your stuff?
I'm all over the place. I'm like, give me some dance hall or some hardcore music or some punk rock or some, you know.
I'm digging the new Architects.
60s soul. Yeah, that I like the first Animals. One more than the second one.
Yeah.
I like that one more than the second one, to be honest.
Yeah.
We played in Tel Aviv last year, and the venue we played right after PopCon from Jamaica came up, did a show that was awesome. I like that kind of shit. I like kind of more electronic stuff. Yeah. Boy Harsher, I don't know, Small Black. Just, yeah, Robin. I love Robin. I love the new Haim record.
Given everything that's going on in the world, do you think you'll write about any of that stuff? Like channel any of your feelings about that?
I have tried to write stuff early on about it, and now kind of thinking back to it, I think I'm not gonna do it anymore, just because it just like I've written a couple songs for the time and it doesn't sound relevant anymore to me.
I guess sometimes certain topics the lyrics are a little bit too potent, but that's what I love about simple lyrics. The potency can be so important. I think I spend too much time analyzing lyrics, and I know a lot of people don't even necessarily listen to them. They're just more about the music.
Potent in the content, like emotionally or word-wise.
Well, good question. Both. I just think how you've like string them together and phrase them, that just the assembly of them is potent. And then when like coupled with singing or screaming, it just takes on a whole other meaning. You know what I mean? Like when you look at it, like as like if it was just like poetry or just words on the piece.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had that conversation recently when we were writing about, I had some words that were just a little less obvious. And because, you know, I was asking, you know, some band members what they thought. And we were talking about, yeah, stripping back things to make it more familiar or obvious to a listener, for example. And I was on the side of saying, well, I don't want to say that because I've heard it before, but, you know, against the other side where it was like, well, it's nice to hear something familiar sometimes. Yes. But so that was an interesting conversation. I would usually be the one that, you know, is trying to find like different words to use and expand in that way. And sometimes I think I overstep in that way.
Are there any lyrics of yours that you're particularly fond of?
I love the song Absolute that we, yeah, like Comeback Kid. That's one of those songs when you said that, but that's a cathartic song. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully, I think it's good to channel, like, especially when you're going through a breakup, it's good. It kind of helps you process, I think, because I write, but I can imagine that the lyric writing process also helps with that. Sort of unpacking.
I think any kind of loss or change is huge for lyrics, I think.
I think in a previous interview, you said that the songs find you. And I just love that. I was like, that's such a cool concept. Can you explain what you meant by that a bit further? Do you mean that like you just kind of get these bolts of clarity?
Yeah, pretty much. And just like I was saying before, just trying to like channel something that's already there. It's like, you know, when you get on that train and can find it, you know, you definitely have to be in the mood, but sometimes it creeps up on you. Like a lot of times it will be write a song. I'm not in a place where I can be working on it. So it's voice notes and then save it for later. And then, you know, 60% of the time, those are all right.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too, when you're dealing with emotional loss, change, or heavier topics, when you do go back, revisiting them can also kind of be a bit painful, but then again, it can also be good to go back with a fresh perspective, and once you've moved through that sort of painful corridor a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it can change as it goes as well.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah, it's music and writing. It's pretty awesome, eh?
Yeah, I love it.
It's nice to have that outlet, I think. Not everyone has that.
And it's intimate. I've spoken about this with other musicians. It's such an intimate thing. A big part of you being exposed. And that's, as a listener, you are constantly privileged to be exposed to that and being part of that experience.
And it's a bit daunting being exposed like that too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it's, yeah.
Do you have any advice on, I feel like a lot of men in particular, and I'm only speaking from personal experience, have a lot of trouble dealing with overwhelming emotions, you know, and we're sort of not sure how to best healthily release them or deal with them. I mean, you're in a fortunate position, I guess, in a sense where you can express them in such a way. Do you have any advice for people like how to deal with overwhelming things when they come up?
Not really sure what I really do that would be any different than anyone else. You know, I have anxious panic attack type things, you know, as well, where, you know, I just feel it affects you, like, you know, physically as well. And I don't necessarily have just curl up in a ball and, you know, fuck it. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have I like the pace. I like to pace around and I like to move. And I think that comes back to just like keeping your head down, and like sometimes idling can cause some of that stuff. And that is a like, you know, laziness begets laziness. It keeps on. It's a cycle that can really overtake you. And I think that if you are able to give yourself some structure, I think that can help.
Without having concerts, because I guess performing is like a great way to release all those things. Have you noticed like any shifts since you haven't been able?
Yeah, no, for sure. I really miss exerting any, like, I don't really have the same energy right now to exert, I think, and like to kind of, and which is also like, it recycles more energy, I think, in you, but not having shows and live music to play or to be at is definitely something that is lacking and I'm making me feel not filled up.
Yeah, and that lack or that aimlessness, I guess, is hard. And I was like, you've got all this time to be creative, but it's hard to find the motivation to do it. And the environment isn't necessarily conducive to do that.
Well, it's the same thing as well when people like to, not have their home be their office. And I think that's just a huge thing now. Like if I had a studio to go to every day, and I'm able to do that sometimes, but you know, a lot of stuff is just done at home now with quarantine and everything. And it's just, if you have that place to go, that makes a huge difference. But just everyone kind of being told to stay home and do it there, it just kind of takes out a little bit of that pep that maybe you can get to your step if you have that commute.
What bands haven't you seen that you would like to? You've probably seen a lot, but are there any on the list that you still want to see?
Oh, what bands have I not seen? I've never seen New Order.
Yes,
I would love to see them.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen Rammstein live. That's just a weird one. You'd think that how many times I've been to Germany, I should see that fucking band. They have the huge props and shit.
Yeah.
I've seen mostly every hardcore band. There's this new band from Australia that I want to check out called Speed. Hopefully I can see them play live one day. I think they're from Sydney, actually.
Yes.
So, you know, that's for the new shit.
Yeah. And when you come back here, hopefully eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been able to see a lot of bands, yeah. I think.
Yeah, you're super lucky. Have you had any, like, you probably get asked like about cool stories. What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened on tour or on stage?
I've had to change my pants in the middle of a set because for ripping my pants.
Thank
in
God.
In Montreal one time. Yeah, I ripped my pants, and then I just remember Tana, our tour manager, that she had to come back in shorts on the side of the stage for me.
What about, at least that was
an accident. That's not that bad, right, at all. That's just kind of funny. Yeah, there's been some crazy times. I got arrested in Serbia with just, you know, some hash at a festival, so something stupid like that.
Is it the lead singer of Alexis on Fire who constantly rips his t-shirts off?
Yeah.
At least you're not constantly.
Does he do it Hulk Hogan style?
Yeah, kind of. It's really strange. I think the first couple of times, like, this is years ago, like probably mid-2000s, and I was like, what is he doing? But he does it every gig. Like, he goes through a shitload of t-shirts. Anyway, it could be an expensive. I mean, I love them. I don't mean to rag on that band. They are amazing. I just find that behavior pretty interesting to observe.
Hell yeah. He's a firefighter, so he's got the bod for it.
Yeah. Cool machine.
Yeah, so, you know, mostly just funny travel stories. I don't know.
Well, being in a confined space with people for a long time, I'm sure, has its ups and downs, that's for sure.
For sure.
So what's in the pipeline for you guys?
So if we record a bunch of songs, I think we'll probably release some of them in the spring and then some of them maybe next year, at the beginning of next year. So we're just trying to plan that out right now. And, you know, it's in this situation where there's so much uncertainty, it's time to kind of, you know, we'll do this record and then kind of focus on our lives here at home. You know, I'm in Toronto and kind of get, you know, I think this is going to be the start of some new shit, whether that's, you know, still doing music and producing and writing different kinds of music, but, you know, more type home type things, unfortunately, just because until we can figure this whole thing out. And even when it is figured out, I don't think that a lot of bands are going to be able to shift gears right back into it as easily as a lot of people think.
Kind of have to reconnect and kind of figure it all out again.
Yeah, because a lot of people are taking, you know, their lives in their own hands and figuring out other careers. And it'll be very interesting. I've said this before, but it'll be very interesting to see, like, what bands come back and who succeed, like, who tries to come back and who can actually, you know, really do it. We'll see it, like, I think we'll see it maybe a shift in that. And hopefully some great new music too. So,
well, so your band name kind of makes you live up to that expectation. You have to come back, like, just literally. it's in the
yeah,
name.
Yeah, but yeah, we're definitely never a band that, or I've never really broken up any bands before. Yeah. We'll never do the whole sort of break up and like
come back.
Yeah.
Do a farewell tour and release an
EP. Yeah, if anything, hiatuses, which we just did. So, you know.
What about when you guys make video clips? Is there a different process for that? Like, how does that kind of come into fruition?
A lot of it comes down to what's possible budget-wise and then what the creatives that you can get around it. Like, we've been lucky to have some really awesome young directors that have been fans of the band, like, come in our lives and help us out early on and go on to do amazing things way past, you know, what Comeback Kid can offer them. So, yeah, it's usually, working, again, with creatives that we kind of know and trust, or at least we know fuck with a band, and setting it up that way. Sometimes, you know, there's a narrative story that gets filmed without us. Sometimes, you know, that will get filmed in another city and then we'll film stuff on tour or in different cities from each other even, and then send stuff in to editor. It's always the best when you have a great location and you can all do it in the same place together. And, you know, I like, you know, I don't mind having to do the remote thing, just like music. I don't mind doing the remote thing, but I prefer when you can see a project through and be present and there for it the whole time. You can do great videos on not a lot of money if you have the right locations. But video directors are unsung heroes sometimes and deserve the money that you get. So yeah, it's good for them to get paid.
It's probably worthwhile mentioning also the impact that music has had on people during this time. It's such a lifeline and such a support and such a tool to take people places, to shift their energy. They can use it for meditative purposes, for exercise. So it is a real accompaniment during this time.
It's something, yeah, that it is so important to people, music in general. I have a friend whose brother is in jail And he, you know, he tells him all the time that he loves Comeback Kid and, you know, some other bands that we're friends with, that he's able to get his hands on their CDs. And it can help people get by with their day to day. And I know a lot of people are hurting right now. A lot of people in my life are struggling to get by day to day. So sometimes also it's hard to focus on yourself, bettering yourself when you're just trying to get by and live. Financially right now, it's like taking its toll on a lot of people. People are scared that they can't pay rent, you know, a lot of, yeah. So just, I feel for those people and it's a time that I'm just trying to be coming together with my friends.
Yeah.
And helping each other out. And there's a lot of grace going back and forth in that way. And that's it. That's what I'm trying to do right now. So.
Yeah, exactly. And small acts of kindness are really important too. And I think, like we said earlier, like you said, you know, podcasts, one of the reasons why I started this was because a lot of people, podcasts are a real private thing. You can do it when it suits you. You can come in and out of it, you know, and it can just kind of help you connect with other people in a sense. You know, sometimes it's just that support because people aren't having a lot of external contact. So podcasts can help in that sense. Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah, I have a couple that I feel connected to every week. So
what ones are you listening to? Are there any that I should be checking out?
My favorite podcast is How Neil Feel. It's just talks about and it talks about just like pop culture and politics and relationships, and yeah, it's just a really nice podcast to listen to. I like, you know, when it's one of those that you can kind of focus in on that when you don't want to think about your own shit. So
yeah, I definitely think YouTube has been a source of distraction for me as of late.
Oh, it's okay. YouTube has to get better at suggesting things to me, because they're not showing me the music that I like at all, or the things that I'm interested in. So
someone's been fucking with your algorithms.
The algorithm's not working for me.
It's not working. It's not good. Well, I just wanted to thank you so much for talking so candidly and sharing all these insights. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And Hopefully we can see some new things from Comeback Kid and Sights and Sounds. And you've got some delightful merch that's just come out.
That's the hustle right now. Trying to hustle a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we got to do an Australian store. I'll set that up this week.
Yeah, you should, because
I have an email. There's been an email before, so I think that can be arranged.
There you go. I've given you some productivity, incidental productivity. And you're the only band, I think I said this to you a few weeks ago, that does like colored hoodies.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a girl. I don't want to always wear black. I mean, I love black, but sometimes you need a bit of color. And the new Wake the Dead ones are really colorful. It's delightful.
Nice. Yeah. Sometimes I just need to be reminded of things to kind of get it going. So.
There you go. Yeah, we just hustle. So thank you so much. I'll put some links down. If you're just new to discovering Comeback Kid and you want to check them out and you like this genre, you definitely should. So I'll put some links down at the bottom of this. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I can't wait to see what comes out in the new year. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks for having me.